Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS, I'm KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. So one of the downsides to doing an afternoon show is that you guys have already talked about stuff, right?
I mean, like,
morning show talks about it, midday show talks about it, afternoon show comes around, and here we have a kind of a unique situation where we have the crossover. I listen to you guys talk to Hancock and Kelly, but, you know, we have our own listeners, and they want to hear our take on last night. I'm very emotional about last night. It like, these guys will confirm, we have a text thread. We text each other, you know, pretty much every evening. It's usually goofy stuff. Every now and then it's something about the show. And last night, I think Wheels was the one who started it. I didn't respond to a single text because I was having my own experience, having my own thing. It got so bad that I tried to watch the baseball game. I went over and watched about 20, 30 minutes of it. And I came back just out of morbid curiosity. And it was just gotten worse. But here are my takes. And then you guys jump in wherever you feel like jumping in. It was emotional last night for me. It was less the texture of, hey, it's a presidential debate, and here's the guy, although you're not going to vote for him because you're not a giant fan of his, you're hoping that he wins over the other guy. It was less that and more like I had gone to Christmas and saw my dad, and I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and he had really slipped. Does that make sense? It was that sort of a feeling in the pit of my stomach. And from the time Joe Biden, literally from the time he walked out looking lost, and then the first few answers that he had, all the way through to the fights about golf, and some of the saddest things to me were when the proctors had to say, Mr. President, you still have 80 seconds left.
Yeah.
You're not using your whole 2 minutes. It was sad. It was jarring. It was frightening for me in a way that I haven't felt since 9/11. And let me flesh that out for you. On 9/11 was the first time I can remember being holistically frightened as an American, like, oh my gosh, this is possible. I didn't think anyone would ever attack us. And now they have. They must know something we don't. We must be vulnerable. Who knows how far this is going to go? What if they try to hit St. Louis because of the confluence, or because of the arch, or whatever it happens to be? I felt a fear on 9/11 that I hadn't felt before that. And I felt it again last night because I was looking at it not just as in, I'm not sure this guy's going to be the best Democrat nominee. He is the president. He is the president right now. As we speak, he's the president. And what I saw last night makes me very uncomfortable. If the election were 2 years away, I'm confident that the Republicans would use the 25th Amendment and would have a hell of a good argument, just based on last night and whatever test that they do. I don't know what they do for the 25th Amendment. Does anyone know what they do? I don't think we do, because we've never had to use it.
I think it's 2/3 of the cabinet.
Oh, and then you have to have evidence, right? Obviously, you have to have evidence. Last night was pretty good evidence that Joe Biden, and think about it this way. When I sign my contracts, I usually sign 2-3 year deals. If Steve Moore came to me and said, we need you to do one show, and we're going to judge what we do with you based on that, and you're either going to get a 4-year deal or you're going to get no deal at all. And I prepared for it, and everyone's like, Dave's not going to be in this week because he's preparing for a Friday show. And then if I delivered a show the way Joe Biden delivered last night, I would not be getting a contract. And you could also say, well, he had an off day. Well, you can't have an off day when you have a big radio show and they're offering you a 4-year deal, and you're going to put your best foot forward and give the very best show that you can give. And you give not just a terrible show, but the worst show anyone has ever heard you give, and the worst show anyone's ever seen anyone in your position give. Mm-hmm. You have to step up when it's time to step up. So I don't think it's unfair to say we expected the best of Joe Biden last night and got the worst. And the only thing I've heard from the White House is that he had a cold.
Right.
And as everyone's been pointing out, this is nothing new. Like Rach, you said, you've had colds before. I have colds before. It diminishes you, but it doesn't diminish you to that point. I can't count on by hands and feet how many shows I've done sick as a dog, but you still deliver. And I'm a radio show host. I am not the leader of the free world. So those were sort of my initial thoughts last night, and it really got to me. It's made me sad. It's made me scared. Am I overreacting?
No.
Well, I don't have fear other than I think last night leads us closer to a second Trump presidency, and I don't particularly want that.
Would you be comfortable with Biden at this point? If, like, the election were today and he won.
I would be more comfortable than Trump, yeah.
Would you? See,
yeah,
I'm
just
not...
just out of policy.
You know
I don't
how I feel about Trump.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me, and that's perfectly fine. But the second time around for him, I am concerned that he will put people in charge who will not tell him no. Because he learned from the first time. And that to me concerns me. And the main concern I have from last night is that people will rightfully see it and be absolutely worried about what Biden is and then say, well, I'm not voting for that guy. Well, I guess I have to take the other guy because the choice is binary. In my opinion, and again, I know a lot of people don't agree with me, and that is perfectly fine. I don't know that we can afford a second Trump presidency. And I also don't agree with a lot of the narrative that this current presidency has been terrible. I know that it's been an absolute disaster. It hasn't been. It just, by a lot of metrics, it has not been a disastrous presidency.
But here's why you're more comfortable with Biden as president than you are Trump. Because you would be more comfortable with a potato as president than Trump. And
I did say I would rather have a corpse.
No, right. And
like
Biden's
a literal
as close
corpse.
To a corpse. I'm not even trying to be funny. Biden is as close to a corpse, as close to a potato as we can get. And the reason is because subconsciously we know there are people around him. There are counts. You know, There's his counsel, they're going to be running the government. And I trust
I trust the apparatus.
The institution.
Yes. Well, the people that they're going to choose, right? And who does Trump surround himself with? People that have now been convicted of multiple crimes, all kinds of people. Steve Bannon's going to prison. Mike Flynn has pled guilty. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have been either convicted or pled guilty as felons, not to mention all of the people that worked for him in his campaign that turned against him and testified against him in all of this. And now what are we down to? The fifth string of people that would work for that? I think the quality of person around a president, I don't care if it's Trump, Bush, Obama, Biden, Clinton, doesn't matter to me. The quality of the people that someone will put around them is what informs me more than anything else.
Yes, that's it. See, I am concerned with Biden's ability.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's clear. That is clear from last night. But I think I'm more concerned with the fact that Trump's former cabinet, almost none of them are endorsing him. How could you not look at that fact and think, why do the people who served him and worked closest with him not want him to be president?
I'm mad.
That's not good.
I'm mad at the Democratic Party. I'm a Republican.
Good point.
I've already said, I get it. I concede. The GOP is insane. Marjorie Taylor Greene is insane. Kevin McCarthy let this happen. Mitch McConnell let this happen. We lost. You're right. We're idiots. We're insane. Hopefully we pull ourselves together. But right now the country counts on you, Democrats. And this is what they put up. The only guy you could argue, other than Hillary Clinton, who could lose to Donald Trump. I think you put up Gavin Newsom. You put someone else out there. This is maddening to me that Jill Biden doesn't say something, that his family doesn't say something, that his counselors, I can tell you right there that no one cares about Joe Biden, because if that were my dad, hell, if that were my neighbor, I wouldn't let him.
See,
I would say, you can't be there.
That's our fault. I think that's, as a populist, that's our fault. I don't know if it's a little bit on the Democratic Party, but I think it's mostly on people who do not participate in the process until the general election.
But even if we did, when did we have a choice in this?
A long time ago.
No, I mean right now, like coming into this election, because he won 4 years ago.
If
we have no say between that last election. So I'm talking about people that would have a choice between Democratic candidates. There are no others allowed
on him, because he's the only one who can make the decision. He might have people close to him saying, hey, man, maybe we should do something else. So he's like, nope, I got this.
He has. I think
it's all his decision.
There's got to be pressure, because I will say I can't imagine seeing the man that I saw last night standing firm in any decision, because he's going to forget his, you know, if he were standing firm going, I'm not going to step down. That's the one thing that he can be strong for, is not stepping down from the presidency. Maybe, but the people around him need to say, Joe Biden, you need to release the delegates for the good of the country and the good of the party.
I know they're different jobs, but what if he were an airline pilot?
Oh,
would you be comfortable?
No.
Getting on that plane? What if he were a doctor? What if he were a surgeon?
If he were a caller, we would not put him on air. He would be like, don't put this guy back on air. He's so crazy. He's old crazy guy.
Yeah, to go back to the conversation we kind of started with, I would be concerned if he were like an emperor, where every one of his decisions is final, and that's what we're doing, and there's no discussion about
it. You know what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Yeah,
I talked about earlier in the week how a lot of people hate me because I'm an institutionalist. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I depend on the institutions. I don't trust people. But we are now pushing the parameters of the institutions, because we are depending on the institutions to prop up someone who has no business being in that job. And he has no business being in that job right now. In 4 years?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Well, there's two people. Neither one of these guys has any business.
Let me make this point, and Chris, I think you'll agree with this. I think everyone should agree with this. If you just took a transcript, they sound like two crazy people.
Yeah, it's not like
Trump was making lots of great points.
Neither of them had a good night.
He just didn't seem senile.
He just didn't seem senile.
Yeah, that's right.
He said it with youth and a tan and vigor.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what else. Rach and I were discussing this in the office earlier. Trump could have gone harder.
Absolutely.
Trump could have said, like, are we okay with this? Does someone need to step in? He could have done that.
Yeah, he could. I thought about that, too.
Which,
and I was when he had that first moment where he was talking about, I'm trying to remember now, but then he brought up, he said, I killed Medicare or something.
Yeah.
Or I defeated Medicare.
We killed Medicare.
And whatever the comment was, where Trump's response was, I'm not even sure what he said. And I thought then he was going to go full on Trump and just, part of me thinks, for a guy who is so narcissistic, part of me thinks in that moment, he was probably deep down feeling kind of bad for him, feeling bad for Biden.
You think?
I think a little bit of him did.
Something stopped him.
I wonder if it was just more that his instincts, because he's very instinctive in how he does things, and he's had pretty good instincts when it comes to reading rooms and reading what will work and what will not. I almost feel like he just instinctively realized, I don't need to.
I don't know.
Maybe. You just said, Dave, I believe it or not, I didn't even think of that, of Trump just saying, hey, are we okay? This is not okay. Because
should we continue?
His most personable moment was when he said, I don't even know what he just said. Like, he looked surprised. For as much as Trump can look surprised, he looked surprised that he couldn't even make sense of what Biden was saying.
Time's flying here in the first segment. We're getting phone calls, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Paul, Kevin, hold on. We'll be right back. We'll take your phone calls after this. Welcome back, guys. DJS and KMOX. Happy Friday, 123. You know, the most important person on the planet right now is arguably Dr. Jill Biden. Because if anyone holds sway, and I mean, I get it, you know, husbands, wives, partners, supporters, I get it. And she's trying to put the best face forward, and they went to that little party last night. And she, do you have that sound queued up there? You can play that for me. Where she was like, what a good boy. You ate all your peas and a couple of your carrots, and you're going to get to play, you know, Connect Four now. Go ahead.
Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. You knew all the facts. And let me ask the crowd, what did Trump do?
No! Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know.
You answered he's the president of the United States.
It's just awful.
I think what she's saying is that he answered every question truthfully. That's what I got from that.
I mean, maybe so, but it sounds ridiculous.
Because then she went on and said Trump, all he did was lie. That's what I got from that.
She just said he answered every question.
You know what else I was uncomfortable with? I don't know if anyone in the entire audience will agree with me on this, but I missed the days of Obama and Mitt Romney, where they clearly had respect for each other and they didn't hate mm-hmm. each other. These two hate each other.
Even McCain.
Or at least acted like they hated each other. Yeah, when the lady said something about Obama.
Yeah but being... And McCain said, no, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that. He's a fine, honorable man.
Imagine Nikki Haley had been on that stage. Wouldn't it be like one of these things is not like the other?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
she would have just been the normal person in America.
Almost
would,
anyone else.
Anyway, Gavin Newsom. It blows my mind that we're trying to be like, this is why this is okay. It's okay, right? It's not okay.
Do you think this pushes anyone towards the RFK Jr.'s? A number.
I don't think it carries the day. I don't think it makes the difference. I think it pushes more people toward Donald Trump.
I do too.
I agree with that.
There are a lot of people out there who are not engaged. We're nerds. We just don't realize how deeply nerds we are. But there are people out there who are not engaged. They're living their life. They're swinging their hammers. They're doing their thing. And they tune in for that. And they're like, well, this is an easy decision.
I also think there's a possibility we should think about is that in 5 or 6 weeks, that what happened last night's not going to matter to a lot of people.
Could be.
That's a good point.
It might. Because, look, people have already gone into it a lot. Most of us have gone into it knowing who we're going to vote for. That other group of people who's not really locked in and paying attention, I'm not necessarily sure that a month and a half from now, last night will still be resonating like that.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Paul on line one. Paul, things are holding on. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I find it kind of laughable that you guys are so dismayed at his performance when he's been exactly like this for at least the last six years.
Paul, you're so wrong. He's a gaffe machine. That guy came out of the womb saying stupid crap. But you look at how he performed at the State of the Union. He performed so well that everyone accused him on being on drugs, which he very well may have been and should have been last night. But I think he's aging by the month, Paul. Do you not agree?
Well, I thought he seemed very spastic and unhinged at the State of the Union. That was just an insane speech as far as I was concerned. And, I mean, he's been a fool for the 50 years I've been following him. I've been a political junkie since I've been 8 years old. I'm 62. Or I'm 60. And so, and even in the 70s and 80s, when he'd be on Meet the Press or Deface the Nation, it would just be so... And again, I know your guys' Trump derangement. I've been listening to it for years.
I mean, who cares about felonies and stuff?
We're deranged.
But,
it's us.
But, you know, you're going to vote. Well, yeah, but you vote your policies and you vote your values, right?
Yeah,
and
I don't want a felon.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure, Kevin. Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong?
Do you not even look at the particulars of that? I mean, do you not see the weaponization of the Justice Department against?
So it's all fake. It didn't happen.
What that he did an NDA against Stormy Daniels?
What was accused? Didn't happen. It's rigged. It was faked. It was made up.
Well, he did do an NDA. There's nothing illegal.
I'm saying, were the charges made up? If you think that, then your point would be different. If you're not, if it's not what you think, then I don't understand the point.
You had a prosecuting attorney who ran on the platform of getting Trump. When does that ever happen?
I'm not asking you that. Did he do what he was accused of? Was the charge made up?
Yeah. Well, was the charge made up that he did an NDA and he put it in?
There were 34 counts that a jury of Americans decided they were going to convict on. Were those fraudulent charges? Were they made up? Were they not real? And if that's your belief, I'm going to shut up because I don't have any. I can't argue that. I can only argue what I read. And I've not heard people say that. I've heard people say that it's fake. But outside of that, what's the argument?
But I think your whatever you read is very biased from what.
I'm asking you. What do you think? Was it made up or not? Is it fake or was it real?
You know, I don't even pay attention to. I didn't even know what.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere with Paul. We need to take a break.
It's going nowhere.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 132. A lot of great phone calls coming in. We'll kind of roll with you and just go back and forth. Joanne, you're up next on line three. Go ahead.
Hi. I was, as I listened to you all, I think
to me, what everything you're talking about is his presentation, and I don't disagree. He talked in a soft voice. He didn't seem very forceful, but you don't have to be a great orator to be a president, okay? And he answered questions with specific. He did answer the. And when you're kind of making fun of Jill, but he did answer the questions, and he could come up with some financial numbers, whatever. Where Trump never answered a question at all. I mean, how does he feel about January 6th? How does he feel about will he accept? I mean, how many times did I just wanted the moderator to say, stop, answer the question. You know, I understand that you want to rebut something, but Trump never answered any of the questions.
Yeah,
and I think you have to hand it to Biden for being able to answer questions with specifics. He was talking like this, but he answered and he gave you.
I don't agree, Joanne would spell both ways, that I don't agree with you that it was just presentation, you know, I'm not a doctor. I've lived through Alzheimer's with my dad and I'm living through dementia with my mom and seeing the aging process. I'm not saying that Joe has Alzheimer's. He very well may not. He may just be a very old 81 years old, but he is, as I said to caller Paul, he's aging by the month. I mean, every time you see him, he looks worse and he sounds worse. And he gets to be like that. He's not committing a crime. He's not doing anything wrong. He's not doing anything on purpose. He's not committing subterfuge. He's simply aging the way humans age. A lot of people are dead by 81. He's past the life expectancy. So I don't think it was just the form and the way that he answered. I think he was lost. He seemed empty.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult to watch.
Well, and I will say this. He's the president of the United States. If I did an interview and Ron said, good job, Amy, you answered all the questions, I'd be like, you're a jerk.
Yeah, I'm going to push back on that again. I don't think that's what Jill Biden was saying. Again, she's referencing, and that's what the caller is referencing, the fact that they asked him, will you accept the results of the election? They had to ask him three times.
Yeah.
Before he got
okay,
to an answer.
Fine.
That's what she's talking
about.
Well,
I will say this, too. I know Trump, yes, spews lies. That's what he does. And as John Hancock said, there are deliberate lies. There are BS. And then it's just ignorance. Like, Trump literally doesn't know how NATO works. It's not a bank account for NATO. It's a certain percentage of your GDP. Okay, we get that. But Biden also just said things that weren't true. He goes, when I took office, the unemployment rate was 15%. It wasn't. It was 6. Easily verifiable. He said, Donald Trump wants to kill Medicare and Medicaid. He doesn't.
He did say it, though.
Trump's a populist. No, he never said that.
He absolutely did.
Nope. It's the Affordable Care Act, which he ran on in 2016.
ACA, yeah, he wanted to kill that.
But then, I know, these are two different things. And in the ACA, he said that in 2016, and then he openly and multiple times said he's not going to kill.
Well, with Social Security, he said he doesn't want the payroll tax anymore, but he has no plan to fund it. He's like, I want to have Social Security, but has no plan to fund it.
That is a lie that's been perpetuated.
That is not a lie. He did say that.
I'm not even defending Trump. I'm telling you. Everything Biden said, him answering the question, sorry if I took Jill's response wrong, but it offends me if he's the president of the United States. And Biden also is fact-checked as well. I mean, this is not coming from a conservative point of view. This is the Washington Post, for crying out loud.
And I would say, too, that and the caller makes a good point in the sense that, yes, he did answer the question that he was asked. Did he answer it well enough? In a lot of cases, no. Maybe most cases, no. But here's the thing that bothers me. And I think you guys made a great point, all of you, that I didn't make earlier, because I've been on the moderators because they just lose control of these. And it's not just this one. It's pretty much every debate ever. They lose control. They let people not answer questions. They let them ramble and on about something unrelated to what they were asked just because we don't want to be rude. We don't want to seem like we're a partisan. And that's fine. But I think you guys made a better point. Did you say John Hancock made the point that that's Biden's job to be the fact checker in there? Well, this is not a debate. This is not a test in school where the answer to the question is the point. The point is you need to be better than your opponent. You need to be able to take them on. This is essentially a fight for the presidency. So if you are the candidate and the other candidate is answering with nonsense or with misleading information or false information or just not answering at all, if you're not capable of stepping up and pointing that out in real time, that's a problem.
Yes.
And I think that is probably when you guys said that
the whole exercise.
When you guys said that during that last break when we were talking, I think that's the great point. Is it's not a matter of whether you can answer questions you've prepared for weeks. It's a matter of whether or not you can counter what the other person is throwing at you.
Someone could have completely trashed Trump last night. Mm-hmm. Trump was not good.
Mm-hmm. No.
And one thing I'll give credit to the CNNs and the MSNBCs of the world is last night they were honest about Biden. Had it been Trump, I don't think Fox would have been honest. I think they all would have circled the wagons. I don't think the people on the right would have called him out the way people on the left have and are calling out Biden. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned it in the office. Did you see what Claire McCaskill said about that?
Sure did.
Oh, yeah. On MSNBC? Yeah. I mean, basically she said the point was to go out there and put out a fight, and he failed.
It would be if I were boxing an 8-year-old girl and I'm cheating. I don't need to. I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. And I think Trump probably sensed, you could almost see it on his face. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think he probably realized. And then to your point, Kev, I agree with Amy. I don't think it's the moderator's job to fact check.
Yeah.
But he realized no one's going to fact check me.
Yeah, and just kept going.
This guy can't do it. These people aren't going to do it. I get to do and say whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
And it turned out just to be this debacle. Let's talk to Scott on line one. Scott, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
And great conversation. I too was glad that, the networks were calling out Biden for his performance, truthfully, and I do hope that leads to some kind of change. On the flip side, a couple callers back sounded like a Trump surrogate, just would not refuse to answer your question. And, that was just terrible. Every time Trump barely answered any questions he was asked. And that's, it was so deceptive and, it was terrible. So
it was hard to watch. Let's talk to Eric online too. He has an interesting point. Eric, go right ahead.
Hey guys. So I kind of think Trump may have really hurt himself in this because he showed how weak Biden is, and like you said, and I watched the CNN post debate shows, and it was like they were all running around with their heads chopped off. Like chickens, because the Democrats were worried that they weren't going to win elections if they were if they're running for re-election mm-hmm. this coming season. So I think they're going to have to push him aside and put a Newsom in, or even a Gretchen Whitmer, and either one of them most likely would have a much better case or chance against Trump, but they need to do it before the next debate. That way, a younger person, be it Newsom or Whitmer, can show, well, yeah, Biden's really old, but Trump's no spring chicken either. And with that age difference, you're gonna win a lot of people just who don't like either of these candidates because they're so old.
Yeah. Does anyone know? We're discussing this in the office today. I don't know the answer to it. I know a lot of the pundits last night were saying that this is a Joe Biden decision and a Joe Biden decision alone, that there's no one who can make him step aside. And Wheels was saying, well, that's not true because these aren't laws. These are rules. These are guidelines that you go by with the party. I don't know the answer to that. If Joe Biden rightfully or wrongfully decides, no, I've got this, is it Joe Biden's to have?
I mean, that's how it's done, but there's no law that says it has to be that way.
But there's also no legal mechanism for it. So
doesn't the party control who gets their nomination?
No, but it has to be through a lawful manner. It has to be through the process that's laid out. You can't make extra procedural rules on the go because you don't like the guy. So, I mean, there is the 25th Amendment. There's that. But again, that's not going to be implemented. So because you can't create extra procedural mechanisms to remove Joe Biden as the candidate, he's going to have to release the delegates himself.
Do you guys? That caller made me think of a question that I want to throw at you guys. Are we making too much out of all of it on the wide scale, right? I mean, we know that this election is going to come down to a very small percentage of voters that are swing voters in six states. Shouldn't this entirely be about finding out what those particular people are going to decide on and then pursuing that?
No.
I'm talking about from the party's perspective. If you're the Democratic Party,
no,
and you're looking
at it strategically. Because,
yeah, strategically,
let's say that the polling came out and Joe Biden got a 10-point bump and Trump got a 10-point deficit. That would lead me as a pollster, as a Biden campaign person, to say, this is great. We thought he crapped the bed, but he didn't. He's up by 10 legit points now. Let's go. I think if you do that, you are not a true American. I think you are doing a disservice to your country. I think Jill Biden is doing a disservice to the country. I think this is more than just a bad night. I think this is probably a pretty accurate picture of what we're dealing with. And again, having dealt with it with both of my parents now, you kind of get a sense for the rhythm of it. Doesn't mean that I'm an expert on it. Doesn't mean I'm right. It just you get a sense of it. And so to me, it doesn't matter what the polling is. It doesn't matter how this thing shakes out. We have seen where Joe Biden is, and he is in no shape to be the president of the United States. Certainly not in 4 years. Mary, go right ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you I totally agree with you. Unfortunately, my mother suffered from Alzheimer's also. I used to say it was like a slab of marble, and some days some people came in and took off a little bit, and other days it was more of a big chunk. It breaks my heart because this man, Joe Biden, has dedicated his whole life to public service. I think he was working on memory muscle last night more than anything. He talked so fast, like I am now. But seriously, and then, of course, with Trump, same old, same old. I just don't understand. But is that truly our choice in America? I just don't understand. My son, who's in his 40s, he's been a lifelong political follower, and he didn't even want to watch the debate, you know. I just find it so hard to believe that these are our choices.
Yeah, we need to make sure that our choices aren't like this the next time around. If anything, we need to learn a lesson from this.
Primaries.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ask 151. Happy Friday. Kind of doing a postmortem on the debate last night. Let's talk to John on line two. John is a doc and has an opinion. Hey, John.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. Okay. I'm a cardiologist, so I'm not a neurologist or psychiatrist. You know, and it's hard to know if President Biden has Alzheimer's. To me, with his mannerisms, the way he kind of stares, certainly the way he walks, it appears that he has Parkinson's, which Parkinson's can lead to, you know, a dementia type, you know, Alzheimer's type dementia problem. So, you know, in the medications, is going to make people sleepy to, you know, and you know, the side effects are bad. You know, I just wish there was some, disclosure of, you know, what his problems are. Like, you know, what about this interview that he gave about his records that he kept at his, you know, in his garage? And anyway, I it's really, you know, it's pathetic that these are our choices. And really, it's a disservice to all of us that this is what we have.
So, John, as a trained physician, you're seeing what we're seeing, but you're seeing it through your own medical doctor eyes. I don't know what it is that he has, but I know it wasn't a cold. He may very well, the man may have a cold. He may have a sinus infection or something, but a cold doesn't do that to the human body and the human brain, right?
No. And, you know, we've seen his mannerisms over the last few months of staring off and his not ability to walk off stage without help. I mean, even his speech, although it was hoarse and quiet, it's not a cold, I don't think.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Tyson on line five here before we wrap up. Tyson, go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to point out how honest the quote-unquote mainstream media is being.
right? Because if you listen to the conservative media, you can't trust them. They'll never tell the truth about Joe Biden. But that's not being the case now, is it?
Yeah, I was impressed as well. I was really surprised by that. To the point, I don't know if you guys were watching last night, but on CNN, Van Jones, who I don't agree with his politics, but I think he's a really smart guy. He was really going in, and then he came back after a couple of breaks, and he goes, I just got a phone call from an African-American politician who just read me the Riot Act and told me to shut up, basically, that they were being too honest about how it all went.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be the expectation, right? Like,
well,
that,
there were
that
couple,
should be our expectation.
A couple people who came out, Governor, forget his name, who came out and was basically saying, oh, you know, it's one bad debate and he's totally, and it just
the
sounded
Shapiro?
So, yeah, there you go.
Today?
He sounded so tone deaf.
You know, and I will say, what I thought going into this was, what a lot of people thought is, whatever side you're on, that's the side you would think won the debate, right? Partisan.
Typically, yeah.
Partisan lens.
Right.
But this felt less political. What we saw last night with CNN or MSNBC talking about Biden's performance, it was more like sports guys. When the team is awful, you can't blow smoke. Everybody saw it with their own eyes. And that felt more like a sportscaster moment where you can't blow smoke if everybody watched the game and it was horrific. You can't say, well, they played really well. They didn't. We all watched it. And that's what this felt like.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. And Chris, you're asking whether if they do make a change, if they make a change next week, do they have time? I think they do, because it's almost like in a sci-fi movie where a ship is going to use the gravity of Jupiter and they're going to, you know, whiplash around it. I think there's enough going on right now that everyone is focused on it. Everyone is engaged in it. And if they were to make a change, I think they would have enough momentum to make some inroads. Quick break, right back. DGS.